Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen.
Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Shalom, family. Everyone's lines are open.
Grace and peace. Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Hey, grace and peace, you bros.
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace. Shalom, shalom.
Hey.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Give us some love.
You already know. I got two of those thoughts right now.
Shalom.
Shalom. Hallelujah. Grace and peace.
Shalom,
my
family.
Shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace in Jesus. Everybody, welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm your brother Joe, Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel. Today is Working the Voice. It's Sister Rhea Israel.
Shalom.
And tonight is Thursday night.
That's right.
Thursday night, you got your brother, Mr. Isaiah Brown. Of the shed, the mystery, the shed,
Bible
That's right. Hey,
you
got
a guy. Crazy.
Amen.
One of the most, what do you say, eligible, and one of the most smartest, and, you know, not man hate, but good looking brothers out there right now that's bringing this gospel.
Amen.
You know, he got the spirit, he got the book, and he got the look.
I'm going to have an attitude tonight. I'm going to have a good old attitude tonight. And my legs flicking on the side, too. You know what I'm saying? You should have went live.
Uh-oh. Well, anyway, y'all, look, we here for another piece, man. Brother Nehemiah dropped a bomb
yesterday. Last night,
oh my God,
I got so many messenger inboxes off of that lesson.
Woo!
Yeah, that was.
And we're still on the physical healing. We're still on that spiritual healing, man, because he touched on that. It's, you know, that mental stress thing. And, and now Isaiah, he brought that thing last week, man. Without prayer, you don't get released, bro.
Amen.
Sisters, you don't get released unless you confess your fault.
Amen.
You know, and that's part of your releasing, man, and putting it on the altar and leaving it up there and not going to get it, right?
Amen. Amen.
So here we come with part two of that. So, man, brother, set the captives free.
That's right.
Set us free. We need some release from the stress and bondage of this hard captivity.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So without further ado, we turn it over to Brother Isaiah Brown.
Amen. And Amen. Before we turn it over to Brother Isaiah Brown, I want to let let everybody know that I'm going to leave your phone lines open. So if you can mute your line, so just in case you have a question for Brother Isaiah, just unmute your phone, and he'll be more than happy to answer your questions. But right now, I'm going to play it safe. I have a lot of people. I'm going to leave it open. So everyone, please mute your phones. And if you do have a question, unmute your phone and nicely and politely ask Brother Isaiah the question.
Please be considerate.
Be considerate. Amen. No background noise.
No background
noise. If I hear it, I'm going to just mute the line.
She's going to have to do it. And then you're going to have to press one.
Yeah, if I mute your line, press number one.
All right, because you know we deal with mercy and stuff like that, but let's just show a little less mercy with that mute button. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Make your hand take a little bit. You know, like how y'all be talking fast? It's cricket.
Okay, amen.
No, man. You know, the Lord is good. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's up with these Decembers, but this December and last December show absolutely no mercy. Oh, my goodness. I think we were negative 17 all last week. And this week we were like, what, like negative 3, negative 4? Man, that negative 3 and negative 4 was like summer weather. But you know, it ain't all praises. I guess Lord getting used to the weather.
But what about the storm that's going up the East Coast?
Right.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to turn into ice.
It is.
Ooh, 95. Yeah, it is.
It's a snowstorm, and it's acting like a hurricane. I say work on that.
Well, I think I should appreciate this negative weather then.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for
the peace. The Lord will use you to show me some understanding and show his grace and mercy. So, hey, all praises. I'm going to hold my peace.
Amen. I'm going to mute my phone.
Oh, amen. Amen. Good word, sister. Good word. All right, y'all. I know as usual, it's time to tell these scriptures to shred. All praises.
Amen.
My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching lesson tonight, and my reading tonight is Brother Taja Israel.
Hey, grace and peace, everybody.
Shalom,
brother.
Grace and peace.
I don't know. My reading got this cool act on right now. He's like, he acting like he really smooth right now. Got his legs all crossed up, so I ain't gonna stop him or nothing. But anyways, the name of the precept is called the Prayer of David according to the book of Psalms chapter 1. No, I'm sorry, not Psalms chapter 1, but Psalms chapter 51, verses 6 through 13. Because last week we did the book of Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 5. And we found out a lot of information. You might have to press that. Oh, we got a little feedback in the back.
Okay. Then I'll mute it.
Okay. All praises. All praises. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, just politely press the number, well, press any way you want to, but press the number one button, and Sister Rhea or Brother Job will more than happily open your mic up and answer your question. But we have a little feedback in the background, so we're going to mute the phone lines. You know, because we are recording, and, you know, it's best for us to try to be as professional as possible, definitely when it's dealing with the Word of God. So it's nothing against your backline. It's just the fact is that it's the Word of God, and I think it's urgent for it to be heard right. You know, all praises. But other than that, you know, we have somewhat of a lot of scriptures tonight, so I don't want to be talking all day and night. But the name of the lesson is called The Prayer of David according to the book of Psalms chapter 51, Part 2, because last week we did Psalms 51, verses 1 through 5, and today we're going to do the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verses 6 through 13. And that's all we have for this lesson, the two-part lesson. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray us in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And then my reader, Taja Israel, will be reading whatever the Most High put on his heart. So I'm going to give all the sisters a chance to cover their head, and I'm going to give a chance for all the brothers to uncover their head, and we're going to get this thing cracking. Well, I say cracking, but, you know, we will get it started. Just in case we got some older cats out there that don't know what, you know, cracking mean. Like, you're cracking my head? Oh, All right, that should be more than enough time. So I'm about to read from the book of Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, shalom, everybody. Since we're going to be in and out of Psalms, anyway, I'm going to just read some from Psalms. Psalms 38, verses 1 through 10, and we're going to skip down to verse 21 and 22. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. But my iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared my reason of this quietness of my heart. Lord, Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of my eyes, it also is gone from me. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Once again, the psalm I read was Psalm 38, verse 1 through 10. And 21 and 22. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing with his holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, as usual, every week, I say the same thing. It is time to tear these scriptures to shreds. All praises. The name of the lesson tonight, or the name of the precept tonight, is called The Prayer of David According to the Book of Psalms, Chapter 51, Part 2. And tonight we'll be reading verses 6 through 13 and breaking down this entire prayer. Because my interest, what the Lord showed me his interest in using me is from reading from verses 1 through 13, because that's powerful enough. And the other stuff we can do at a later time. But tonight we're going over verses 6 through 13 and breaking those things down according to scriptures and get a better understanding. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Psalms chapter 51 and read verses 1 through 5 so we can pick up the understanding on what we left off of from last week. So we go into the book of Psalms chapter 51 and we're going to read from verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Psalms 51. Verses 1 through 5. And when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Right, so when we read this last week, we understood that in order for the Lord to do these things for us, to have mercy is, and one, the Lord said he only showed mercy to those that keep his commandments and do them. Number two, he's going to show us mercy according to how we show mercy to others. That's in the Lord's Prayer that I just read. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So in order to get this mercy that David is praying for, he has to show that mercy. And another thing, too, is that you have to keep the commandments, because the Lord said he showed mercy to thousands of them that keep his commandments and do them. So the first part we learned is that, hey, in order to get mercy, you got to keep the commandments. And another part of getting this mercy is you got to show mercy to others. Verse 2.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? And we went through this. Matter of fact, skip down to verse 7.
Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
And last week we understood, well, we learned that this washing that David was talking about was not a literal wash. It was talking about on a spiritual level. And the spiritual level is washing me with the word of God. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way for us to be spiritually washed is through the word of God. So he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, cleanse me with your word. Show me my error. Clean me through the word of God. Verse 3.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Go ahead.
Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest.
Amen. And what we understood last week about readiness is that this is David in pure humility with the Lord. He ain't got no pride in his heart. He coming clean. And when you come clean and be honest with the Lord, then you can get him room to help you. But this part of the prayer we're reading right now is nothing but pure humility in the eyesight of the Lord. Verse 5.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Right, so you know this is David being 100 with the Lord. What's wrong with being 100 with the Lord? Because if we want to get help, I mean, of course he knows what we need help with, but same point of time is you want to hear that out of mouth, so he can see that we ain't got no pride stooped up in our heart, and we acknowledge our sin and our faults, and Lord, hey, we need help. We all need help. Every person on this planet need help. Why not come to him straight and tell him what your problem is? Amen. Now let's get into the lesson. That's the stuff we learned last week. Now let's learn the rest of this good stuff this week. Go right on to verse 6 and go ahead and read. And this is the lesson started.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
Now, we only dealing with the first part of this verse in verse 6. And it says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Right? So let's say that thou desirest truth in the inward parts. What is this inward parts? Let's go into the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 and pick it up at verse 10. And keep your marker in the book of Psalms 51 because we're going right back. We're just breaking down this first part in part 6. But what David said is, behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts. Let's find out what these inward parts is. Let's go in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 and pick it up at verse 10. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. And all I want is that one verse so we get an understanding on this inward parts and what it means. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings.
Right, so these reins is the same thing that we read inside. Well, it's the exact same thing. The inward parts is the mind. The reins, well, the reins is the mind. You know what I'm saying? The heart is all the exact same thing. And when you read verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the mind. I try the minds, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So this desiring truth is all in the mind. And David understands that the Lord wants us to think right when it comes to dealing with him. Well, do the best you can to think right and do the best you can in all your power to get that negativity out your heart. But the whole thing is this right here. The Lord God desires truth in our mind. He wants to think righteously. He wants to think of justice. He wants judgment in our hearts. This is how he wants us to think. Now let's go back in the book of Psalms chapter 51 and read the bottom of verse 6. We're going back to the book of Psalms chapter 51 and we're reading the bottom of verse 6. The book of Psalms chapter 51 and the bottom of verse 6.
Scratch these off and confuse myself.
And the hidden part.
Bottom of 6. And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
Amen. So, hey, behold, thou desire truth in inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Hold on 1 second, y'all. So this inward part, so another thing too is this right here. That the books, okay, in the book of Psalms 51 and 6, it said that the Lord desired truth in inward parts, and he desired truth in the minds. The Lord searched our minds. He also searched the reins. You know what I'm saying? The heart. Everything is the same. Now, let's look at a prime example of how the Lord check out our hearts. Let's go in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and pick it up at verse 1. We're going to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. It's because one thing I want to point out is this right here, is what David said. David understood that the Lord desired truth in your minds. You know what I'm saying? And he desired us to think just in our hearts and our minds. And that's how the Lord chose the second king of Israel, not by the outer beauty or the outer appearance of a man, but the inside appearance of the man. So we're going into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and pick it up at verse 1. Read in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And you get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord.
Skip down verse 4.
And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice.
All right, now pay close attention to this. You know, I just wanted just to get into the story while we was, you know what I'm saying, on our way to getting the understanding of what I want to point out. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Saul messed up. Lord was tired of Saul. So the Lord told Samuel to go anoint the next king of Israel. He didn't say nothing about how he looked or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I honestly believe before Samuel anointed the next king of Israel, I think the Lord wanted to show him something. You know, so Samuel's down here with Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and he also is with his sons. You know what I'm saying? After anointing everything. Well, after, you know, he down there with his sons, and he's also down there with Jesse. And let's see what's going on in verse 6.
And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him.
Right, so he's doing so Samuel is doing a fleshly thing. He's looking at the outside appearance of the supposedly next king of Israel, but the Lord refused him.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
That's how God do these things. So when David was praying to the Lord, he said, thou desire truth in the inward parts. It ain't nothing about the outward appearance. It's all what's inside. And we also just showed you what the Lord did with David, too. You know what I'm saying? Well, not with David, but just making my point clear is that Samuel was looking at the outside appearance, but God was looking on the mind to prove what was in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts. So when the Lord was looking at David, he wasn't looking at, well, he not bold or strong. No, forget all that. Your heart is right with man's. You know what I'm saying? And his heart was so right with God that the Lord say he's even a man after my own heart. Not the outside appearances, but how he was in the inside. Thou desire truth in the inward parts. Now let's go into, hold on one second. I always be writing fast. Why did I put this two times? And another part, okay, and then another thing that we did learn is this right here. Hold on one second. It says, okay, in verse 6 says, behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And how do God make us know wisdom? How does he instruct us on these things? So let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and pick it up at verse 1. Because he said in the hidden parts, you'll make me learn, you'll have me learn, right? It said that you will have me learn wisdom. And let's see how the Lord do these things. We're going to the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give stability to the simple and the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fool despises wisdom and instruction.
So when David said in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom, this is how you get this wisdom right here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. You know what I'm saying? So what the Lord teaches us is this right here. It says, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So these are things that Christ teaches us. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. You get wisdom by reading this book. Justice, you get justice by reading this book. And judgment, also judgment and equity. That's a balance. He gives you balance with these things. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety is skill. To give skill to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, right? But one thing we need to understand is this right here. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So before anything, we need to understand this right here. To understand these things, the above in verses 1 through 4, we need to understand the first thing we have to do is hear. A wise man will hear, and by hearing, you will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall obtain into wise counsels. So this is what God is going to teach us. When David was like, in a hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. These are the things the Lord will make us to. This is what God is going to teach us to know. These things. All this is wisdom. And how to serve God. How to stay out of trouble. How to do the right thing. This is where this thing is at. Read verse 7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fool despises wisdom and instruction.
Amen. Now let's go back in the book of Psalms chapter 51 and pick it up at verse 8. In the book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 8, when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Amen. And that's a big thing because, hey, man, you know, sometimes we don't want to get whooped on and get beat up. You know what I'm saying? But at the same point in time is if Christ is doing it or if somebody or if your parents doing it, you know, it's for correction. But the whole thing is this right here. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. What bones broken? The bones he broke, we're talking about is the chastisement. Because we all know that, hey, if God loves you, he going to chastise you. And it's not that he hates us or anything like that. It's just that he's trying to get us right. So let's look at some of this chastisement that David is talking about and how and why we should hear joy when we hear when we do get whooping. Why should we get joy? Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and pick it up at verse 11. We're going to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. And we're going to read verses 11 and 12. We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 11 and 12. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction.
Uh-huh.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth.
Right, so that's the joy. You know what I'm saying? When we being knuckleheads and doing something stupid and something happened, we should get joy because that shows that God still loves us. Hey, be happy you're getting this whooping and beat down. It's because it's obvious that the Lord, he still loves us and he's trying to correct us. So this is the reason why we should be joyful when we get chastised by the Lord. It's because he's just simply trying to get us right. And if you just live in a wicked behind life and doing whatever comes to your heart and ain't nothing happen, then maybe you're not Christ. Maybe you're not his child. But a servant of God knows that we get our beat, that we get our whoopings, we get our beat downs. Sometimes it's just two belts, sometimes it's one belt. Sometimes it might be a stick, sometimes it might be a shoe. But in all, we should be joyful and glad when the Lord takes a piece of that we're in off our backside. Now let's read more about this chastisement. Let's go into the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. It's because we're going to read a little bit of a chastening. Well, we're just going to read what his punishment was, but we're not going to get into the story of the entire punishment. But we just will get enough. We're going to understand and learn why we need to be joyful when we go through chastisement. So what we're doing now is we're going to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. Oh, I didn't put that in the lesson. Oh, wow. That never happened before. Well, I might as well just talk about it. But anyways, I can't believe that. There was so juicy. Matter of fact, no, we're going to read it. We are going to read what David did, and we're going to read David's chastisement, and we're going to break down why David should be happy. So keep your marking there. We're going there next. So we add this in, Sister Ray. Go into the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 2. And we just will keep on going down until it pop back in my head. So let's read this stuff. We're going to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 2. And you get it broke, I'll read.
And it came to pass in an evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliab, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house.
You know, while we're reading this, it's like looking at this, like the Lord ain't, before all this stuff happening, it just seemed like the Lord ain't letting him get away with this. But what we're reading right now is on why we should be glad for chastisement. You know, David was a man after the Lord's own heart. But the same point in time is, we flesh, we make mistakes. You know, and the prophet Paul said it too in the book of Romans 7 chapter, "When I want to do good, evil is present with me." He might have had good intentions, but we always got to realize and remember that evil is always present with us. But reading this story, it seemed like the Lord ain't letting him get away with this before all the rest of this other stuff happened. But the reason why we're reading this is to add on a story on why we should be glad, we should be joyful with the chastisement. But right now, David's getting a little reckless. Let's finish reading this stuff. Where we at?
Verse 10.
Go ahead.
Verse 10. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife, as thou livest and as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing.
Right, so you know, man, I can't be out there having it. I can't be getting all to all lovey-dovey with my wife, man, in Israel in battle, in war. How can I go down into my house, man, and all this stuff is happening? I want to be with my brothers. I want to serve the king. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be on the battlefield with my friends and family. I don't have time to go back to my house. Go ahead and read.
And David said to Uriah, Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house.
Man, I honestly believe the Lord let him get away with this before after David did extra. When you look at this, man, it looked like the Lord let him get away with it. You know, so now David made, you know what I'm saying, now David trying to get him drunk. You know, when you real drunk, yo, that's our excuse to say we don't know no better. You know what I'm saying? But in all, David was trying to get this man slop drunk. Probably gave him some of the best wine. To get him drunk so he can go back home to his wife and put the baby on him. But in all, David is just adding on to his fight. He's just adding on. Then would it stop? Go ahead and read.
And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die.
Oh, my goodness. Now he's just adding on more and more and more and more and more. Now, this is a man after the Lord's own heart. So that's why I try my best. This is why me personally, Lord knows, I try. I try my best to be merciful to my brothers and sisters and show great mercy. Matter of fact, I try my best to show great mercy to my brothers and sisters because I don't know how my flesh might be the next day. I might get all the way off the chart. God forbid. But I might get all the way off the chart. Now, this is a man after the Lord's own heart. I don't care how much we did. We don't come close to David. But when David was making his prayer, he was, you know what I'm saying, he was wise enough to say, Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness from with the bones which thou hast broken. You know, thou may rejoice. We're going to get into that prayer part, but we need to break this down first. So now let's go into the book of 2 Samuel chapter 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. Because Uzziah died, Uzziah passed away, David took his wife, married her, and she conceived and had a baby. But let's check the chastisement out, and we're going to break down why he should be glad. We're in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in the bosom and was unto him as a daughter.
Amen.
And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, dressed for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. but took the poor man's land and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." And he said, "Restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity."
Right. So, you know, David, you know, being, I mean, not even knowing that this is actually talking about him, it's like, how can I put it? You know, it's like, you just did that. Where is your mercy with this man? But not to under, but to stop, but never to stop to think that that man that he was talking about was David. Let's look at the mercy of God, why he should be joyful in this chastisement that the Lord is about to give him. Verse 7.
And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee my master's house, and thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover given unto thee such and such things.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?
Uh-huh.
Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his sins, sight of his son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit by this deed thou hast given great occasion to, howbeit because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die.
Whoa. So, good reading too. I would have stopped, but you would seem like you was on fire, so I didn't want to stop you. But yeah, so what we just read is David's chastisement. And the reason why he should hear gladness, I mean, trust me, I know this is rough. You know what I'm saying? To lose a child and stuff like that, and a sword not to never depart from your house. But it was two things I was looking at why he should hear joy and be glad from these bones that the Lord just broke on David's back. The reason why is because he's not going to die. He took away the sin from him. He has a chance to get it right. And have we ever took the time to think about the child? The child was born. The Lord could have took the child out in a woman's bosom, in her stomach. It never existed. But the child was born. The child died. It died without sin. So he could be in the kingdom when he wake up. So that's one child you don't have to worry about, because he could be with Christ forever. Have we ever stopped to think about that? So even though it's hurtful and stuff like that, but hey, I lost a child, but hey, he could be in the kingdom. And I did all this wickedness. Christ is so great and rich in mercy, he's going to give me a chance to get this thing right. God showed David great mercy. Uzziah didn't have that type of mercy. When you read the book of Kings, the brother that turned to leprosy, he called the attitude one time and didn't want to leave, and the Lord took him out. Well, not take him out, but turned to leprosy, and his righteousness that he did was not even mentioned because the people only remember him as a man who had leprosy. Moses, a man at the Lord's own heart. No, I'm sorry. Moses, the meekest man that's ever lived, who saw God's backside face to face. Well, he saw his backside, his clear backside. They hang with the people, and you can go into promised land. But David did all this, and the Lord showed him some mercy. You better be glad. You better be glad the Lord didn't take you out on your wickedness. So you better be glad and be joyful that I'm showing you some mercy by beating you down. So that's why I understood when David was like, Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. He showed him some mercy, and it looked like he got one of his sons into the kingdom. Now let's go in the book of Psalms chapter 51. Right back to the book of Psalms 51. We go in the book of Psalms chapter 51, we're going to read verse 9, just that one verse. The book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 9. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities.
Amen. So David said, hey, blot out all my sins. He said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Let's look at an example of this. Matter of fact, no, I got something better. All praises. Verse 9 just said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Like who? Blot out iniquities like who? Let's look at the greatest general. Let's go in the book of Zechariah chapter 3 and pick it up at verse 1. Lord, blot my sins out like this, what we about to read. Blot my sins out like this. Let's go in the book of Zechariah chapter 3. And we're going to read Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy rank garments and stood before the angel.
Right, so look at this, talk about these filthy garments. You know what I'm saying? We all filthy rags. Filthy garments. Joshua was, hey, he had some clean work to do. But in all, in verse 3, it says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Verse 4.
And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away thy filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment.
Oh, my goodness, man. How many of us want to have that? Change those filthy rags off of Joshua and put them on these right here. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Change his garments. Now he's clean. Oh, yeah.
Verse 5. And I said, let him set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by.
Uh-huh.
And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by.
Right. So, hey, man, I'm about to clean you up, man. All that stuff you did or whatever, hey, man, you got a clean slate with me, man. Put these new garments on. But, now, hey, if you want me to stay with you, then keep my covenant, man. Keep my commandments. And I'm going to be with you, making a long story short. But when we read in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 9, you know what I'm saying? Blot out all my sins. Well, blot out all my iniquities. I looked at that as like how the Lord took care of Joshua with his garments and used that in a metaphor way to see how we want to get cleaned. And how we want our garments taken off, our filthy garments taken off, and put on new raiment, a change of raiment. Amen. I hope that made sense. Now let's go to book of, now let's go right back into the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Let's go right back in the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Let's go back into the book of Psalms, chapter 51, and let's read verses 10 and 11. In the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verses 10 and 11. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Amen. And when we read verses 11, definitely it says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. If we don't want that to happen, then what do we have to do? Plain and simple. Let's go to the book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. Let's find out. You're going to the book of John chapter 14 and 15. In the book of John, chapter 14 and 15. And we're going to read verses 15 through 23. In the book of John, chapter 14. And we're going to read 14. The book of John, chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 15 through 23. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Oh, okay. So if you love me, then what we need to be doing? Then we need to keep his commandments. So if we keep his commandments, so if we don't keep his commandments, then that's a way for him to, for us to be cast out of his presence. But they will say, cast me not away from your presence. So if we, if he don't want that, then it's obvious that he has to keep the commandments. And the Lord said, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Right, so if you keep these commandments, he'll give you a comforter. We all know that comforter is the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and read.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Amen.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
Uh-huh.
At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Uh-huh.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him.
Right, so if you keep the commandments, you don't have to worry about the Lord casting himself away from you or casting him away from you, or casting you out of his presence. So when David was like, cast not away from your presence, that means it's obvious that you have to keep these commandments. And by you keeping the commandments, you are showing Jesus and the Father that you love them, and by you showing them that, then you're comfortable. You won't be alone. And he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. All by keeping the commandments. So whatever we're going through, we got to keep the commandments. And by keeping the commandments, we don't have to worry about the Lord casting itself away from us. So when David was like, cast me not away from your presence, then it's obvious in order for that to happen is that David got to be keeping those commandments or doing the very best he can to keep them. Because I know no one here is a super holy Hebrew or a Hebrew policeman. We all fall, we all make mistakes, we all fall short, but in all, let's do the best we can to serve God. And by doing the best we can to serve God, then why would he cast himself away from us? Why would he cast us out of his presence if we keep his commandments? So that's how we do it. If you don't want him to depart from you, then keep his commandments. Amen. Let's go in the book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 13. The book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 13. I'm sorry, the book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 12. Sorry about that. The book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 12. When you get it broke, I'm going to read.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Amen. It said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. It's something I was looking at, you know, and I'm always at the correction, but I was checking this thing out about restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let's check that out. Let's go in the book of Psalms. Turn a couple pages over into the book of Psalms, chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. And we're going to read one verse, verse 39. The book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 39. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble.
Right. So when we was looking at David, hold on a second. We was looking at David, right? It says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with that free spirit. And I'm looking at that salvation. It says that, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So I'm looking at that is that, hey, restore in me strength in time of trouble. Because during that salvation, we need strength. And during that strength, we need that strength in time of trouble. That free spirit ain't nothing but the free gifts. Where it says, and uphold me with that free spirit. But when I'm looking at that, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, you know what I'm saying? When you're looking at this salvation that we just read in the book of Psalms 37-39, you know what I'm saying? It says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So, amen. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 51, and verse 13. And we have three more spots after this. The book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 13. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
Amen. So after all this prayer that David is doing, he's saying, well, Lord, help me with this stuff. And once you help me with this stuff, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let's check some of this stuff out. Because it said that then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Teach them what? I think that's a valid question to ask. Teach them what? Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. Because the book said, then will I teach transgressors their ways. Let's look at a way on how the Lord operated in that type of thing. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 2 through 9. The book of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 through 9. When you get it broke, I'm going to read.
Above it stood the seraphims, which each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Right. So, you know, at first, man, hey, man, I don't know. I mean, you know, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You know what I'm saying? So basically saying, man, I don't know your word. I don't know what to do. Go ahead and read.
Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.
Amen.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, then send me.
Right, so once we understand this whole thing, when it says that, then will I teach transgressors their ways, the Lord has to teach you this thing first. And after he teach you, now you can go out there and take care of the Father's business. Because at first, you know, he said in verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. But after he got the knowledge, understanding, the Lord asked him a question. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. But before he can be able to, before he can say that, he has to be told first. So in the book of Psalms 51 and 13, David said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. So before I can teach them, Lord, you got to teach me and get me right. And once you teach me and get me right, now I can teach them their ways. In the same way the Lord did with Isaiah, he was a man of unclean lips. So he had to learn first. And after he learned this, now the Lord can say, who shall I send? And what did Isaiah say? Here am I. Send me. Because now he's learned. The same thing in the book of Psalms 51 and 13. Lord, won't you hear me with all this stuff? And I'll learn how to do this thing right? Then will I teach transgressors that ways? And let's go in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And we have one more after this. The book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Because now he said, then will I teach transgressors their ways, right? And once we do, what is the Lord going to teach us to do? What is he going to teach his servants to do? Read the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. So in the book of Psalms 51:13, it said, then will I teach transgressors their ways, and then these are the things, this is how we're going to teach them their ways. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. All praises. Now let's go in the book of Psalms chapter 51, and let's break down every single thing we learned from last week and this week. And this is last. The book of Psalms chapter 51, verses 51, verses 1 through 13. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
You owe mercy, show mercy. In order to keep his mercy, keep the commandments. Because the Lord said that he showed mercy unto a thousand, then to love him and keep his commandments. So, hey, keep the commandments, learn how to show mercy. Go ahead.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sins.
And in order for the Lord to wash us from our sin, I mean, how will he do that is by washing us by renewing of the word of God. Verse 3.
For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest.
And one thing we need to understand is this right here, is that it's always good to come 100 with the Lord. Get the pride out of your heart and show some humility with the Lord so he can help us. Me too. Because there's some things I be doing, man, I ain't going to pray. But same point in time is we need to. Get the pride out of your heart, pray to the Lord, and be 100 with him. Be honest with him. Verse 5.
Behold, I was shaven in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Acknowledge me, we all mess up. Hey, ain't none righteous. No, not one. We all mess up. We all fall short. And we was born into this stuff. So, Lord, show us some mercy and give us some time. All praises. Go ahead and read.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
And how he do this is the Lord desires truth in our minds. He wants righteousness and judgment in our minds. This is the truth in the inward parts, in our minds, because remember, the brain is the biggest thing that operates the body. If the mind right, then the body be right. But if the mind is all jacked up and wicked, then what you think the body is going to do? Because the body already want to do sin, but if our mind is right, then we can do right. So behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts. The Lord desire truth in our minds. And in the hidden part, thou should make me know wisdom. This wisdom is the wisdom we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, equity, subtlety, discretion. But in all, making a long story short, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Verse 7.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Once again, that's a washing with the renewing of the word of God. Verse 8.
You close? Don't get it. Verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Amen. We read that today. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Because the reason why we need to have joy is because it shows that the Lord still loves us. And he's trying to correct us by whooping us. Because if he whoops us, then we understand from our mistakes. Amen. So we need to be joyful and glad of that matter when he chastises, because it shows that he still loves us. Be in cheer and don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Verse 9.
Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities.
Amen. Go ahead.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Uh-huh.
Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Uh-huh.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Uh-huh.
Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
All praise to the Father in Jesus' name. I hope y'all got some understanding in this message tonight and part 2 of the book of Psalms, chapter 51,
verses 6 through 13. Now you're the mic.
Amen. Can you hear me? Oh, hold on, I'm unmuting the line. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Praise God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And my brother, let my understanding. Yeah, and the night is tomorrow night.
Wait a minute, something happened. Are we breaking up?
Yeah.
I think it's everybody. So look, let's do this. Let's just mute the lines out, and if you want to say something, just press one. Rhea, open up your line. But I just want to say this, man. You know, thank you for that self-check, man. You know, and thank you for showing us how to repent going in that Psalms, man. And thank you for reminding us, man, that there is a repercussion for sins. You know, you're not just gonna walk away from monstrosities, man. You're not gonna do it. You know, you're right, praise God, you're not in the dirt pushing up daisies. You know, that's the end game, man. But as long as you're on the earth, man, there's hope. Like the book tells us, man, a living dog is better than a dead lion. You know, so this is that thing, you know, that the Father is bringing into our remembrance, man. And we really, 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 really need to be conscious of that, because that teach you fear, man, that the Lord will bring. He said, I'm going to bring evil up in your house.
Right.
You know, I'm going to bring evil up in your house. You dig? And that's a tough road to hoe, man. You know, and like you said, the child was still born, but it was born to die. Had no chances of living on this planet whatsoever. None. And while you was telling the story, I was thinking to myself, what did David really think was going to come out of that? That another man going to raise your child after you shot his wife and knocked her up? I mean, what was going to happen with this, that whole scenario, if Uriah is still in the picture and he ended up going home and land with his wife? But that was from God. He didn't even put that in him to do it. You know, so I, you know, it's like David had lost his mind. You know, now I'm not taking away from the fact that he was a man after God's own heart. Don't get me wrong, because Proverbs, Ecclesiastes tell you there's a madness in man. You know, and that madness was right there. That's madness to even think that was going to even coexist with the Most High. You know, and then you still going to sit on the throne of God and still going to call yourself judging, and you didn't pull this stunt, and you got another dude raising your child. Come on, man. How is that supposed to end?
Right.
You know, so the Most High set all that up. You know, he fixed all of that. You know, but it wasn't a good look out the gate, so it wasn't a good finish. You dig? So man, heavy hitter, man. I love that, man. I love the fact that, you know, we gotta check ourselves, and then don't be upset when the Most High start jamming you, man. You know, hey man, you better enjoy that correction. You know, like you said, hey, you better take that whoop and get that shoot now or catch the fire later. And ain't us trying to catch the fire later. We'd rather get the shoe or the belt or whatever the Most High see fit. You dig? So, hey, man, big ups on the lesson, man. You and I, man, hey. I yield a mic. Hallelujah. Great message.
Amen. Amen.
All praises.
All praises. So, do we want to try to unmute the mic now?
Hey, give him a ride. Let's see what happens. They're all on the muted. They're on the muted right now.
Okay, cool. Cool. You know, Jay, numbers don't count, bro. But you know, when I really looked at the board of salvation, and then your part was like, man, I understood with this right here, you know, like, make me to rejoice that the bumper that God is booking me rejoice. You allowed that child to be born. You know what I'm saying? So now he probably had a couple of days or weeks of life. Hey, the child died without sin. He didn't do nothing. And the same point in time is that the Lord gave David a chance to fix his issue. You know, so that was another great part I looked at too. And also your part, man, you know, cutting me up inside, man, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I just try to be mindful, you know, definitely like madness, you know what I'm saying? That's why after I finished my announcements and stuff like that, you know, I always just say this, man, just do the best you can. Don't be out there making no crazy vows and stuff like that. Just do the best you can. Because one thing that Paul announced to us that we need to take heed to is the fact that when you want to do good, evil is present with you. Well, evil is present with me. So y'all have to be aware of that. And I think we super saints and super Hebrews that don't mess up. We all mess up. The Lord showed us an example with a man after his own heart. I mean, the Lord could have easily not put that in the Bible, but I think he put this in the Bible for a reason, to show us. We all make mistakes. We all come short. But the same time is that if there's breath in you, hey, keep on moving. Keep going. We got to keep going. And I get a mic with that. And good word, Brother Joe.
Man, good word, period, man. And also, man, excellent reading, man. That was great. Great flow, great everything, man. Thank you for bringing that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I apologize for stuttering now. I'm keeping up with my sickness, man. I'm only down to sleeping the last couple of days, so.
That's okay. Well, that was a good, great job, man. We wouldn't even notice. But if you don't say that, we wouldn't have noticed.
Oh, okay, man. I got my headset.
My man. Great job, anyway, friend. Hallelujah.
I appreciate it. I'll pray.
Any more questions or comments? Okay, well, I guess we got a clear understanding on this one, huh? Well, you know, when it's like that, that means, bro, you nailed it, Jack. Everybody clear. They sit back there digesting what you just said, man. Hallelujah. Yes, big time self change. And that's exactly what we need to be doing, man. Communing, man. Like, hey, what is the Lord going to turn our houses into hell? Is he going to raise evil up? And you know, that's real conversation, man, because the Most High showed that he do that. And he said, now he called that mercy. You did. Amen. So, man, hallelujah. Well, any closing comments before we get into the announcements?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. You know, hey, can you mute the mic for a second, bro? Okay, I'm just talking about you.
Oh, sorry.
Muted me. Okay, good. I'm back. I heard you. All right, I'll praise it. You know, like I said before, a million times, say it again. Do the best you can to serve God. You know what I'm saying? Everything in your might, man, just do the best you can to serve God, you know, because one thing we need to understand is this right here, man. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. But one thing I do realize this right here is that if we know we fall short and make mistakes, that means we need to gird up on our mercy, you know what I'm saying, and learn how to forgive one another and learn how to love one another and definitely just being a prime example of how we're supposed to walk according to the scriptures.
So the whole thing is this right here, man. Just don't be out there making no crazy vows. You know what I'm saying? Because remember, we are, you know what I'm saying, we serving God, and we went up under the water. We already made a vow to the Lord. We go serve and do everything He say. Everything that Christ said, we will do. You know what I'm saying? So just, hey, keep it as God willing. You know what I'm saying? Let's try our best to get rid of all that pride in our heart. You know what I'm saying? And to try to think more righteously, and to try to find out better ways of solutions than to wickedness. But in all, man, remember, the Lord said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, forgive me, and I'm going to forgive those that came against me. Because Lord knows supreme, good and doggone well, that brother Isaiah, this filthy rag that just did this lesson, I need a multitude of God, grace, and mercy. And in order for me to have a chance at His mercy, or even a shot at His kingdom, I got to do the exact same thing too. That means if He's rich in mercy, that means we got to be rich in mercy. And remember, that's just keeping the commandments. The first part of the commandments is to love God with all your heart and soul, and the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Hang that up in the prophets. Hang the rest of that stuff up in the prophets. We better have those two. We better have those two. You hear a lot of people talk about wisdom. You hear a lot of people talk about knowledge. But like I said before, I'll say it again. I'd rather have a truckload of love and a little piece of knowledge, because that love is what's going to get us into the kingdom. Let's learn how to love one another. Let's learn how to get all this hate out of our hearts. Let's learn how to forgive one another. Let's learn how to stop whispering and backbiting and smiting with the fist, but learn how to come together, as written in the book of Zephaniah. Gather yourselves together. Yay, gather yourselves together before the day of the Lord. So let's learn how to gather ourselves together, and let's get the wickedness out of our hearts and be servants of God, as Christ said. And I yield the mic with that.
Amen, brother. Amen.
All praises.
Amen, Jew. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for that sobering lesson. You know, that Psalms 51, very necessary, very well spoken, very well taught. And, just going to say once again, thank you, Brother Isaiah Brown, of the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class, for this precept. Join us again next Thursday with Brother Isaiah Brown, when he's going to be back again next Thursday night at the same time at 7 p.m. to do what? Rip them scripts. You know what I mean? So you want to be here, you want to make sure you catch that flow. Tomorrow you want to be back here again. You're going to be I and your sister Rhea, Israel, and we're going to be back here tomorrow night, same time, 7 o'clock p.m. And tomorrow night we're dealing with women in the church, right? Women in the church. And, you know, we all heard, you know, about, you know, women, you know, y'all to be quiet and, you know, you ain't supposed to be preaching in the camps. We get that. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's a law. But what if then, if they can't do that, then what is their job? Then because they ain't supposed to be just sitting around having babies. That's an easy fix. Then, you know, they justifying public aid. You know what I mean? did I say that? Okay, well, no, we know better than that. Though. You know, like our forefathers, man, it was Jacob, you know, that came over the 12 tribes, but it was four women, man. In the kingdom, man, the gates of the city was named by women. So, I mean, now you do one better than that. You know, this 21st century super Hebrew, I want you to do one better than that. Name one of them gates in New Jerusalem that the Father is going to bring, because they was named by women. You dig? So we're going to get into that part of the mission. You know, that the kingdom wasn't built by man, but it was built by both man and woman.
Amen.
You know, And that we both got work to do. And if they don't do their job, they're going to get cut off. And we don't do ours, we're going to get cut off. That's all to it. You know, so you want to be back here. That's tomorrow night. Back here at Sound of Living Water radio program, 7 o'clock p.m. With the Commonwealth of Israel. That will be us, and, like I said, myself and Sister Rhea. And then on the Sabbath day, we'll be back again on the fifth day. You know, and, thank you, brother. We're more than welcome to have you. Absolutely. Thank
Amen.
You, Francis. We're gonna be dealing with the fifth day, and we're still dealing with the fishies. You know what I mean? Because the Lord got work in the fish, you know. So we're gonna get into that thing. You know, we dealt with the fowls, we dealt with the dietary laws of the fowl, we dealt with the fish in the ocean, we dealt with the dietary parts of the fish. But what about the fish? What did he create them for?
Amen.
Let's get into that. We're gonna get into that part of it. And Lord willing, we live. And then also Sunday, we back again for the Sounds of Living Water breakfast brunch.
Amen.
Which is again at 10 o'clock a.m. Sunday morning. And we're going to be dealing with Be Ye Not of the World. You know, and we just had a worldly, we just got hit by a worldly storm. You know, like Sister Mary said, you know, that's hitting the East Coast right now. You know, we just got hit by one of them from Halloween all the way until, like, last week. I mean, and it ain't over with, because they already started with the Valentine's Day nonsense. And it's going to run to Easter before it's all over with. So we got to deal with these things, and we got to be conscious of not being a part of it. You know, so Be Ye Not of the World, that's this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. You want to be a part of that. So, and once again, we'll be back on that midweek cycle with our brother Nehemiah, Israel, and we'll be kicking off the middle of the week, bringing us in on the Sabbath. So, with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. I know I was edified. So, and I hope everybody was as edified as I was. So, once again, we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Water radio show, we what?
Read your Bibles.
Amen. That's right. Don't get no better than that. Clean that dust off of them pages.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a decoration for your dashboard. You know what I mean? It ain't a decoration for your living room table.
And table.
It ain't for the level off the kitchen table. You know what I mean? When you put it up under that level, it ain't one of those deals. It's for to be used. It's your history. It's your future. It's your now. You know what I mean? So, hey, blow that book wide open, man, and let the Father blow your mind. And let Jesus instruct you in him. So with that being said, everyone, Godspeed. And once again, Brother Isaiah Brown, thank you so very much for bringing another great precept. And can't wait to hear the next one. Amen. Amen. And we'll touch bases. We'll touch bases on the Sabbath day. And all praises to the Most High. And God willing, we live. We'll see each other tomorrow evening as we get into the Sabbath day. So Godspeed, God bless, and read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.
Amen.